This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From the Chronicle Telegram, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, he's Mr. Scott Petrak. Hello, Scotty.
Hey,
what's going on, guys?
Did you sleep all day yesterday?
I wish. I don't sleep like I used to, Jeff.
Amen.
That's tough.
Amen. I know tough. That. You throw a couple kids, a couple dogs in there.
You know why you weren't sleeping?
Some sleep apnea. That'll crush you.
Because you thought, holy, you know what? Kicker in the fourth round. He better be damn good.
Yeah, I don't think that's why, Jeff. But, but you're
maybe
right.
It should have been.
Be good.
Maybe it should have been.
Yeah, right. Right. You talked about the Browns not. I don't think they chased many needs in this draft. You know, trading down from 44 and taking a corner with their first pick at 68. But they certainly chased a need with Cade York in the fourth round, right? They decided they needed a kicker, thought he was the best guy, and weren't bashful about getting him maybe higher than they needed to, but they weren't going to let him get away.
Is that the kickback from Evan McPherson in Cincinnati last year when the Browns had their eyes on him?
I think that's part of it. You know, I think it's Chase McLaughlin struggling last season. I think it's expecting to be in a lot of important games this year and in the years to come, and those come down to field goals a lot of times. And I think the Browns reached a point where they didn't trust their field goal kicker last year, and that's a hard way to live, and it's a hard way to live in the playoffs. We saw it in that Green Bay game on Christmas, right, when McLaughlin was out on the COVID list. The Browns didn't trust their kicker, and it affected how they played the rest of the game. So I understand it. It's all, you know, draft is always a crapshoot, maybe even more so at kicker. You know, the last kicker to go as high as Cade York was Robert Aguayo to the Buccaneers in 2016 in the second round, and he lasted a year. So it's a gamble, but they like it, and I do think there's a residual effect to seeing how McPherson came in last year. It was huge for the Bengals in their run to the Super Bowl.
Do we need to rewire our brains? I was getting texts after they traded 44, and part of me was like, okay, if we have a good team, do we really need to bank all of our hopes and dreams on somebody they might draft or might not draft? And, you know, other than David Bell, maybe a little bit more than that. I feel like they drafted for depth. Like, they needed to get better, deeper. And the pressure when you start drafting after the second round is much less than it is if you're drafting it. Do we need to rework our brains?
I think that's fair, Andy. I do. I thought the way the Browns drafted signaled that they're really comfortable with where they are as a team and where they are with the roster. You know, if Andrew Berry and Paul DePodesta felt like, hey, we can't go into the season with the receiving core the way it is, right? And we need a number two receiver above anything else, and there's no other option. They could have sat number 44 and taken Sky Moore, but they didn't do that because they value draft picks. They thought the middle of the round, the middle of the draft was a sweet spot, as Barry said. And they didn't feel the urgency to address a need. And that's a difference from years past. It's a difference from the last 2 years. You know, 2020, they sat at 10 and took Jedrick Wills Jr., and the whole world knew they were going to take a left tackle because they needed one desperately. Last year, it felt like it was going to be a corner, and it wound up being Greg Newsome the second. So that changed to this year, and part of that's not having a first-round draft pick, but part of it is believing your roster is really good, and that they're in a, you're right, that they're in a different phase than they have been. So there was not a sense of urgency. We talked for weeks about they need a receiver, they need a defensive end, they need a defensive tackle. And they eventually got those guys, but not with an urgency or a panic that you may have seen earlier.
Scott Petrak joining us. You can read all of his Browns coverage at brownzone.com. Comprehensive stuff on the draft. Martin Emerson, corner from Mississippi State. We're going to have his head coach, Mike Leach, with us coming up at noon. Looking forward to that. And so we'll get the lowdown on that. I don't mind a big corner. I don't know that you need a corner, but in this league, everybody needs corners and everybody drafts corners. So I can sign off on that one. I'd like your thoughts on him, but also on Alex Wright, the defensive end from UAB, who's long, lanky, young, and maybe a little bit of a reach at 78 overall.
Yeah, the Emerson pick was interesting, and it kind of goes back to that last point I was making. They didn't need a corner, right? I mean, you always need corners, but they didn't need a corner that high. And entering the draft, I did not expect a corner to be their first pick. You know, you always take a corner or two somewhere. That's just because you play so many of them and so many play on special teams. But to spend your first pick of the draft on a corner was a surprise, and, you know, obviously you say, well, you can never have enough corners, but then they turned around and traded Troy Hill the next day. So they felt like they had plenty in the room, but he's a bigger guy. I think it's interesting that now, as a roster stands now, it means Greg Newsome is going to play in the slot, or at least it projects that way, which is interesting because I thought he played well outside. Not that he didn't play well inside last year, but that's asking a lot for a corner to start outside and then move inside. There aren't a ton of guys that do that in this league, but they value size at all positions, but especially corner, and I think that's why they were so attracted to Emerson. And then the right pick, you know, they needed defensive ends, and he's a big one. And you look at some of the guys in the draft, and you project them, and they're more like 3-4 outside linebackers. You know, Nick Bonito from Oklahoma is one of those kind of guys, and yeah, he could be a situational pass rusher, but right, you know, with that size, he can be an every down guy. He can be an edge setter, and that's really what this team wants on the guy opposite Myles Garrett. And we saw that with Jadeveon Clowney. We saw it with Olivier Vernon. So I think he fits the mold that the Browns are looking for. The question is, can he get up to speed fast enough? Can he give you that impact you need right away? Because, you know, right now there's not a sure thing, number two defensive end opposite Myles Garrett.
Scott, did you think Baker Mayfield was going to Carolina?
I did, you know, especially when they didn't take a quarterback at 6, and you see the rumblings, and they didn't have another pick into the 4th round. It just seemed like it would make sense. I think the way that, you know, we've all seen the reports, it's all about the money, right? How much money are the Browns willing to give up, and they're willing to take on of Baker Mayfield's salary, right? How much are they willing to pay to make a trade happen? I think that's a factor. I also think Carolina watched the draft play out, and when none of the quarterbacks are getting taken, they felt, hey, we can move back into the 3rd round and get a quarterback that we like, get a rookie quarterback that we like, maybe more than Baker, or we like it better because of the money and all those factors. So I think those are the two issues that led to Carolina saying, no, that's okay, we'll take Matt Corral.
All right, so where does this leave Baker then? Where's he going? What do you think?
I don't know, Andy.
We're waiting.
I mean, you know,
we're waiting for an injury. That's what I think.
Well, I mean, I think that's a tough way to live, you know, waiting for a quarterback to get hurt. You know, I don't know if it's a good karma thing, you know, waiting for somebody else to get hurt. So
hate to say it's reality, though, it is in this one. This is how I feel.
But when's a quarterback going to get hurt until the season starts?
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Nobody touches a quarterback until September. So is Baker going to be one of the 53 guys on your roster in September? That still seems like a stretch to me. I know the Browns are saying, you know, they take it day by day, and they're willing to have him, it seems, willing to have him show up for mandatory minicamp and maybe even training camp. But I feel like at some point it just makes sense to get a deal done. Whatever, you know, whatever they have to pay to get a deal done, that's how I feel now. Andrew Berry probably doesn't feel the same sense of urgency and feels the longer he waits, maybe some team will feel like, hey, we need to improve our quarterback room and Baker Mayfield's the best guy out there. But I just don't know how this – I just don't know how the market's going to grow. And, you know, let's say they wait for that injury. Well, then it has to be the right team to have their injury in the perfect scenario. If you're a team trying to tank, right, then why would you trade for a new quarterback? Just play whoever you have. If you're think you're a Super Bowl team, then you have to believe Baker Mayfield's capable of taking to that Super Bowl. So I'm not sure an injury is the necessarily the perfect answer here.
All right, so let me read the press release. I can already imagine the headline. Mayfield misses mandatory minicamp due to setback in shoulder. That's all it's going to be. Or yeah. Both sides felt that his shoulder needed more time to heal. That's all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the problem with that is if you're trying to trade him, you don't want people thinking his shoulder's hurt. But I get what you're saying. Could they reach an agreement where they decide, hey, Baker, just stay away? That's possible. They can't make him stay away. They can excuse him, his absence. I know Baker's worried about making sure he gets the guaranteed money, so that's a huge factor, and understandably so. So I don't know. I mean, they have until the middle of June before he has to be here, before he's supposed to be here for mandatory minicamp. So there's still some time here. It's just whether if another team changes its stance or Andrew Berry relaxes his stance about paying so much of that guaranteed money.
Yeah, that's true. I'm just waiting for the press release that says Baskin misses show, still gets paid $19 million for hangnail. So I'm praying for that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I'll even split it with you, Scott.
There's one other thing here, Scott, with Baker, and that's Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
So there are actually two quarterbacks who are in similar situations, and although I think Baker's situation is worse because they've already replaced him, in theory San Francisco has two, but you know Jimmy G could go back to the Niners, and that might work. There's no way Baker's coming back here, but I do think Garoppolo being available complicates it because is Baker the best option out there for somebody that needs a quarterback?
I'm glad you said that, Jeff, because you know when we were connecting those dots to Carolina, Garoppolo was always in the back of my head. But they have to like Baker more than Garoppolo.
Yeah.
And if it's all about leverage, the Browns just don't have any right now, or not much at all. And Garoppolo being available lessens their leverage because every other team could say, that's okay, we'll go with Jimmy G. And Jimmy G, you know, we can argue who's the better quarterback, but we know that Jimmy G handled his situation wonderfully last year, even after they drafted Trey Lance. And that's just not, I don't think Baker would have handled it the same way.
No, I agree. So the draft is over. Here sits the roster. I'd still love to see a veteran wide receiver. I'd love to see Jadeveon Clowney back. I'd love to see Jarvis back as the wide receiver. Anything that you think is glaring right now?
I mean, those are the two spots. You know, I mean, defensive tackle, you feel better about with Perry and Winfrey. I think, you know, some people had him projected in the second round. You think he could come in and play right away and contribute right away and join, you know, Jordan Elliott and Taven Bryan and Tommy Togiai and Sheldon Day, right? You can look at that and go, okay, they can make that work.
Yeah.
Not that they couldn't add another veteran if they wanted to and feel more comfortable. But it's receiver and defensive end. Now, the question is, they threw a lot of bodies at those two positions recently. You know, David Bell and Jakeem Grant and Michael Woods. And, you know, they still have Donovan Peoples-Jones and Anthony Schwartz and Jamarcus Bradley. Like, if you brought in a surefire number two, that really changes your depth chart. And then Bell's three and Peoples-Jones also is a four. And where do Schwartz and Grant fit? So I'm not convinced that they will make a splash move there. And I feel the same about defensive end, right? Like, they signed a couple of guys last week, and then they draft Alex Wright, and then they draft another defensive end late. I'm not ruling out defensive end because I think Clowney could still come back, and then all of a sudden you have a stacked position group. You know, you got Chase Winovich. But I just don't know if there's the sense of urgency at either spot, and I wonder how, when they evaluate the depth chart, they go, okay, we have all these guys. Do we really need to go spend a lot of money to bring in a veteran guy when we like this pool of guys? Now, I could see it going either way, but I think you do have to take a look at the numbers that they've accumulated at both spots.
Scott, great job on all your draft coverage. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks Scotty.
Scott Petrak, Chronicle Telegram, BrownsZone.com. BrownsZone.com, where you can read all of Scott's fine work.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.